All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith. I'm here, as always, with my buddies, Chuck and John. Boys, I have a little buyer's glee, or what is it? It's not remorse when you feel happy. It's like the ecstasy, the glow.
Just, I think you just coined the term buyer's glee.
Well, it's like when you pay extra to buy a new car. Like, oh, it loses $3,000 when you drive it off the lot. Yeah, but it feels good.
We've got that new recording equipment smell.
We actually, someone out there ponied up, actually PayPal'd us $4,000.
That's amazing.
That's not true.
No. Thank you.
But we did buy a new headphone box, which is not the cheapest one on the market, which is what we had been using.
Yes.
An old cheapest one on the market.
It is a C-class signal processor.
Yeah.
Chuck, you did that in the Air Force, right?
Wasn't I was processing some kind of all sorts of C's in the Air Force.
Wait, I don't get that.
C's and D's.
C's and T's and A's.
C's and D's sounds like...
What?
Let's just leave
that. In England, you can say this word. Here, you may not say this word.
So hopefully we had a little technological, much like the speaking issue I just had, on it's a big word.
Very big.
And last week, so we decided it was finally time to invest some of our hard-earned 3 years of advertising dollars to buy the second cheapest headphone box on the market.
To talk to Samson.
The greatest part about it was the way we were starting podcasts before would be we'd all set up, the box wouldn't work. John would smack it on the top with his hand as hard as he could, and then it would work.
Well,
and then we would forget about it until the next week to where we're about to podcast and then panic and then John.
That isn't telling the whole story. We went months where we would put our headphones on and then just smack the box until we could both hear, until all three of us could hear from both ears.
I usually just couldn't hear.
Yeah, and so then finally we found a new technique where John just screamed.
Yeah.
And, oh, that's right.
He redlined it.
He fixed it with gain. Yeah. So like we would shake the box and then Chuck would be like fix it with volume. And then John would yell and then the box would work. And there it was. And all right.
Now our box is broke.
So when I went to get this box, I had an amazing experience.
Yes, tell us more.
This is not basketball. This is bigger than basketball.
It's life.
So I go in there, and you know how there's always guys, like, either jamming out to music. This is at, a Guitar Center, Sam Ash type store. It's actually Sam Ash. I don't know if that's everywhere. But, and instead of guys jamming out, there's a guy who's dressed all in black with black sweatbands on his wrist. That was weird. Like, super roadie, I guess.
Well, yeah, you don't get your fingers slick from all that sweat.
Was this Andrew WK?
Maybe. Maybe at age 52 with a pencil-thin mustache and... bifocals, and then another guy who was in all Realtree camo, and they had come in there to plug in something they had written, and it was already playing. I kind of got filled in the story by an employee, and it was like real grandiose, like kind of reminded me of like maybe like a Kim Jong Un coronation, like wailing guitar, like and like big drums and stuff, and they were chanting something the whole time I was in there, and I'm trying to find a headphone box. And I'm walking around, so I'm not really processing it. Then I slowly realize what they are chanting is, Trump, Trump,
no way,
Trump, Trump. And then they start, the music, like, crescendos, but then his voice starts to come through, and they put parts of his speech into the song. And I, like, scramble over to an employee of Sam Ash. I'm like, what is happening?
That's incredible.
And he's like, this guy wrote this song for some kind of Trump rally and wanted to play it for his friend, and he just dragged him in here and played it, and he's been playing it over and over again, and we don't know what to do.
It's mania.
And then I tried to surreptitiously videotape this guy with my phone, and he came over and just pointed his finger in my face, and I ran.
That would probably be... That's about what you would do.
That's what I needed to do.
Well, I have so many questions.
It was amazing.
So the guy... shows up with his friend and plugs in his iPhone. Like, what did he?
I guess
have?
So. Yeah, he wanted to hear it. It was loud. Yeah, it was over one of their systems.
He used his aux cord.
Yeah,
yeah.
Plugged
to
in.
Share. Oh, it. This guy had like a belt filled with audio.
You can be sure he has no idea.
He was the Batman of DJs.
Absolutely,
that's great.
And then the other, it was his buddy who was just in Realtree camo, head to toe.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
And they were just playing it and looking around, looking because everyone kind of like. Realized what was happening at the same time. Right around when he was like, we can make this country better. We can make it faster, stronger. And I mean, I'm just like, I got filled with like something akin to your buyer's glee. But there were plenty of people who were horrified and mollified.
What word would you use when your let's say you're watching someone struggle and you're enjoying it. What's that word, John?
Schadenfreude.
Oh, I didn't know there was a word for that.
Well, not in English.
Not in English? Yeah. Oh, is that not an English
word?
We don't
have an English word for it. Well, that's wild. So you walked in on a mild Trump rally.
Right.
It might have been the rallying call. It's one of those things where no one knows anyone who's voting for Trump, but then it turns out he's going to be president, and everyone's going to be like, well, who voted for Trump? Like
this was in the Rivergate area.
Of Nashville, a suburb that I've heard of, and I'm not quite sure where it is.
It's a special place, and if you go to Rivergate and then try to get to Keith's house, it takes about 2 hours.
That feels right.
Yeah, it takes forever.
If you only take side streets, yes.
Right.
Got to avoid them popo.
All right, so... On this day of buyer's ecstasy, did we have breakfast?
I did.
Yes, John, what did you have?
I've been getting up supremely early to build this fence.
What's early for you, John? Tell our listeners.
9 o'clock.
That's pretty early for John.
For yes. John, but not for most of America.
That's early for almost...
And that's John waking up at 9, which means he hits his snooze button 3 times.
I feel like I'm not a snooze button man.
You're not? No. Okay. Good for you.
I was going to say, I feel like that's pretty early for our listeners.
Okay.
I think we have a lot of listeners that get up around noon.
I think we got some drive time guys that get
up. We got a couple drive timers.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, for me, very early, but, you know, I've got a guy helping me build this fence. His name is Catfish.
Love Catfish.
He's wonderful. And we're building this fence, but I feel the need to supply breakfast for the contractor dude, the guy who's building this immaculate wooden construction in my backyard. So I've been going down to the old biscuit house and getting those sausage, egg, and cheese biscuits.
They real, son.
So good. It's a really, it's maybe the weirdest drive-thru establishment in history.
It's a great place. The biscuit house is a Nashville establishment that's been around for a while.
Staple.
It's a staple.
I've been going either there or to a place called Charlie Bob's.
Oh, the CB.
And Chuck gets mad at me when he finds out.
You guys are getting deep Nashville. We're right. Alienating our Denmark listeners.
Well, I'll get to it. If you're not familiar with the Southern establishment Waffle House, it's basically like the greasiest of greasy spoons, but the food is so consistently whatever it is, it is.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm not going to say it's great, but it's also not bad, but it's always the same. Charlie Bob's is that. I feel like they modeled it on. It's like a diner of the
and
South.
And every city has one. I think we could connect this to our international fans, the Denmark folk. They have a place they can go to where they get their traditional breakfast. Yeah, and that's our Charlie Bob's.
Nice little diner. That's our Charlie Bob's here.
Yeah.
Southern diner.
That's real good.
Well, yeah. I had the ops. So what did you have? Biscuits?
Mm-hmm. Sausage egg biscuit.
You know what I had?
Yes, Chuck, tell me.
I had a V8.
Oh, you stopped drinking your breakfast.
Yeah.
Were you walking around all sideways until you had it?
I was.
How much vodka was in it?
None. No vodka. Just had a V8
Tabasco?
And a water for breakfast, and then had a little tuna sandwich for lunch.
How many flavors? I don't like tomato juice at all.
Yeah.
V8s, it's one of those things I've never... quite been able to grasp. I've tried Bloody Marys, like fancy Bloody Marys at, you know, like, oh, it's $12 Bloody Mary. You know what? This will be the one that'll win me over.
You know, go to
like a chicken and I'm like, you know what?
This restaurant has a Bloody Mary bar.
It's like bacon infused vodkas with
48
jalapeno
olives.
And the olives. And I'm like, I love olives. Mm-hmm. And I take it. I'm like, this is a torture. So I'm curious, do V8s, I assume V8 has marketed themselves and actually has a lot of different flavors. Have they done this? They have carrots.
At the gas station that I got this at.
Oh, gas station V8.
It's like, okay, I'm at the gas station. I have choices. It's a hot dog on a roller or something somewhat healthy. And that's a V8 drink or a protein shake. Your boy's got to get thin. You know what I'm saying? It's swimsuit season.
I have two friends who are fat who have lost weight. Chuck is one of them. And Chuck hasn't done this, but the other one now thinks he is thin.
Oh, I'm not thin.
You're just... less fat.
Yeah.
You're the right size, though.
I'm good for what my bones hold.
Right now, I'll tell you, you're looking right.
But I'm scared at any moment that this mutual friend of ours is going to, like, take his shirt off.
Oh, no. He's
that confident.
I know who you're talking about.
No one needs that much confidence.
I know who you're talking about, and he will.
He will.
Oh, he's waiting for swimsuit season. He's talking about it. He's talking about going on the boat in the river.
Like, I feel exactly opposite. Like when it's time for me to get semi-nude, I want to look as much like Hunter S. Thompson's lawyer from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas as I can.
What's his name?
His real name is Oscar Zeta Acosta.
Doesn't he call him by goat?
It's not Dr. Gonzo. And they characterize him as Samoan. Damn it, I can't remember this. When he was actually a Mexican man.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a pretty skinny guy.
Right.
When it's time for me to take my shirt off,
right,
I prefer to be submerged in water up to my neck.
Oh.
Like, you know, it's like, oh, it's time to jump in the lake. I don't know, my shirt's coming off. Now I'm in the lake. Like,
no, I prolong it. I do like the Phoebe Cates like parade around
walk,
the pool.
Walk around in slow-mo.
Why not?
It's Raoul Duke.
Oh, yeah. I deserve your all. No, Raoul Duke is Hunter S. Thompson's alias.
Oh, it is.
It's my attorney.
Dr. Gonzo.
Dr. Gonzo. Damn it.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Raoul. We're slipping, man.
I know. I haven't read any Hunter S. Thompson in a long time. Because I also haven't done mescaline in a while. So Ooh. I should do both of those.
You lost all that. My breakfast was once again.
Mescaline.
Not mescaline. Got myself a scone.
Uh-oh.
From the official bakery of Fast Break Breakfast, Sam and Zoe's.
Do you have some sort of like sly solo deal over there where you're the only person that gets to reap the benefits of us having a sponsorship?
Okay.
Definitely the only man.
Here's the thing. Sam and Zoe's does not know they are our official baker.
What the hell are you doing?
But I do get a hookup pretty frequently from knowing Baker Lauren.
That has to be, when I think of your lifestyle, it usually is so appalling to me. Because of the overwhelming routine of it all?
Yes.
But that has to be the biggest benefit. Like, you have family everywhere.
Like, what do you mean by family?
Chipotle, those people are your family.
So, John, your lifestyle is you have the hookup at the bars and the everywhere. Like, yeah, you know all the local people. So you're now right. I've entered a new life where I have regulars. I feel like everyone's this way. Like, my whole life I wanted to be a regular somewhere. Now it turns out it's a bakery. It's a coffee shop.
I think you getting free burritos and free scones is way better than getting the odd free tab at a bar. I think you've won. You've
John,
defeated me.
John is grass totally is green. Underselling
grass is green,
his bar. So he walks into this place, Mickey's. It's his bar.
Right.
He does not ask for a drink. It is cracked and handed to him within seconds of him walking through the door.
I do not go to the bar.
He will go sit down and they will deliver him his drink. As busy as the night it can be,
right,
he gets his service. So don't let him talk shit.
Seth Pomeroy.
They don't do that for me.
Seth Pomeroy asked why they were so nice to me at Mickey's. And Dermot replied, he's a big English
guy. Who's Dermot?
He's the big English bartender.
He's
there.
He's Irish, but close enough.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, for John, that's great.
Has John ever gotten mad at you? And and Seth goes, yeah, he was like, how terrible was that? And he goes, it was pretty bad. Did he make fun of you? And he goes, yes, he did. He's like, do you ever want to experience that again? And he was like,
so is he Scottish?
No, I can't do it. He's doing everything turns into Mike Myers from So I Married an Ex-Man.
Yeah, head, look at the size of that thing.
I was actually trying to channel Chuck's father, but it didn't work out.
That's amazing.
Good man.
The best thing about Chuck's father is the way he says you. You?
You.
Yee.
Yee.
It has every vowel in it. And the Y. It even has the fake vowel.
All right, that's perfect. We're pretty deep into the show.
Oh, man.
Without mentioning basketball.
It might be time to mention the NBA.
Guys, we talk basketball here sometimes, too.
So after our
breakfast. See you later, Michael Leeds.
After our breakfast, we get to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
I do.
Yes, John.
I will begrudgingly apologize to Jonas Valanciunas. However, caveat.
That's big of you. That's big of you. Now say however.
He is being guarded by Hassan Whiteside, who is a fool.
Oh, talk it.
We only have
an empty stats fool.
We only have one game sample for this against Whiteside, but Valanciunas was killing it. But also in the first round, in their terrible, underwhelming first round win over the Pacers,
right?
Valanciunas was a force. Offensive force, they gobbled the rebounds.
They played better and won their games when Bismack Biyombo had more minutes and played better.
Bismack and Jonas both have some of the highest true rebounding percentages I think they've ever seen.
I love Bismack Biyombo. How is he not on the Grizzlies? That should be our backup.
He was on my list of I would like to sign him last year.
We talked about
signed for $3 million nothing.
You know how people are talking about how Festus Ezeli is going to go and be a starting center somewhere?
Going to get paid.
I feel like Bismack Biyombo is way better than Festus Ezeli.
Oh, Bismack will get way more than Festus.
Oh, good. That's good to know. That makes me feel better. That feels like there's some righteousness in the world. Then.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. My apology this week is, well, actually, thinking about a couple. I know we mentioned that we wouldn't actually, we're not supposed to apologize to each other for things.
You may apologize to me now.
But this is actually, is it Reservoir Dogs where they say if you insult me in your dream, you better wake up and apologize?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I actually had a dream about you guys.
Uh-oh.
What?
And it was the most
real. I think it's already a nightmare.
It was the most realistic, you know, like it wasn't a fantasy of something weird happening.
Right. So I was really late.
It was like I assaulted. John. I physically assaulted John from anger.
did John show up 35 minutes late for the dream?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It was a thing where I had this dream where
this
I was.
This is the most passive aggressive thing that's ever happened to me.
So no, it really was.
Oh, we're going to get deeper, dog. Don't worry. This is just the frosting.
The funny part.
They can't see it, but I'm sweating. I now can't look at Keith.
He's pink.
I don't
flushed.
The funny part is, I don't remember exactly what John had done.
I'm sure I was really late.
Yeah, you were late or something, or we'd set up something and you hadn't done the thing you were supposed to set up for.
Oh, so we almost did that today, too.
So we got in a fist fight, and then Chuck, I was like, Chuck, have my back. And I asked Chuck a question. And Chuck just looked at me with his blank, glazed over stare. And I was, yeah.
And did he speak backwards like the dwarf from One Piece?
No, he didn't. So that was a funny, you guys invaded my dreams. And it was It was like, oh, someone's late and unprepared. And now I'm angry. And it was funny.
I deserve it.
It made me laugh. But that is an actual apology. Just want to share that.
Okay.
My apology is I was kind of putting down the $200 haircut, John. You mentioned last week you had a special hookup,
right?
You know, someone who normally charges $200. And we were saying, what's a $200 haircut?
I think it's coloring.
Well, I think you're right there too. But a power listener, Chris Howell, pointed out, like Alfred Payton, that might be $200.
Yeah,
and that's something special. Yeah, and that really and that actually brings me a lot of joy. I assume it brings Alfred a lot of joy. That's worth $200.
I bet LeBron's haircut is about $200 million worth of plastic surgery.
the Wayne Rooney. Give me the Rooney.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, Chuck, do you have an apology this week?
You know, I think I wanted to apologize to that purple shirt guy in Charlotte. First of all,
can you fill us in on what this is?
It's Wade and this dude popping off.
This is the guy
in the audience.
This is the guy.
He should have had his tickets, like, he should have been.
This is a guy who's already received the NBA warning because he was the man who got up in Kevin Durant's face on a throw-in before. And it was a thing where the officials had him step back, and then he actually received the NBA warning letter saying, like, you are whatever. You're on notice.
You're on the watch list. Yeah.
So they're jawing back and forth, him and Wade, and we just.
But this was the dude, the classic. I don't know what his story is totally. I did read the article. I think the Charlotte Observer had an article about him where he drives in from Greensboro or somewhere, which I assume is farther from Charlotte. I don't know the geography.
We should really care about how far it is.
But the fact that he had some, you know, the stupid like bandana thing and he's wearing like a little baggy, with the drawstring on his back. So you're apologizing to him.
No, I'm not. I'm apologizing to him because the way he broke his heart in game six at those.
So that wraps up our apology because I'm jumping on this immediately.
Let's do it.
Because my best thing, my steak and eggs best thing is watching purple shirt guy just get obliterated.
It was
something
amazing.
So I had a weird experience where I was pretty much pulling for the Hornets in this, even though Chuck, my buddy Chuck, big Miami fan, I'm watching these games. I find myself cheering for the Hornets. It's one of those series. I wasn't sure which way I was going to pull until the games actually started. And I found myself like, I like this Hornets team. It's a fun story. They're a small.
They lost.
They're not an important team in the grand scheme of the NBA. Like no one gets excited about the Charlotte Hornets. So I was like cheering for them. But then game six happens and this like 40-year-old well-off bro. Maybe he's self-made. I don't know.
Who knows?
Maybe he came from nothing, worked his way up, and he saved up to get these front row seats. But to see him yelling at Dwayne Wade with that stupid like baggy pants. Looking, I don't know what you call those pants.
Zumbas?
Like, to see him up there and like almost getting on the court, walking over in front of other people. Like, you got to stay in your space, man. Like,
yeah.
You can stand up, but like stay in your area. So this one guy yelling, my best thing, I guess, is Dwayne Wade woke up I mean, Dwayne Wade's been playing well, but yeah. he had his first three-pointer since, what, last year or something?
It was before Obama's first term.
Right. In office. So Dwayne Wade hit two threes, clutch threes, game series season saving
literally
threes.
Literally his first three since December 15th.
So it was literally since December. And the fact that this is a elimination game for the Heat, they're in Charlotte on the road, and Dwayne Wade comes up with three dagger shots, two of them being threes, all with like Courtney Lee draped all over him,
uh-huh.
and this guy yelling at him, and Dwayne Wade's just like staring at this guy. And so that was my best thing. One, seeing this warrior, Dwayne Wade, guy I enjoy watching play basketball, a guy we've called washed in our, if not out loud, we've thought it. It's like many times before, but he's him rising to the occasion and in the face of this man who, with my own personal prejudices and stereotypes, immediately hated upon viewing. I'm like, I hate this guy. And so to see him vanquished, it was more satisfying than I assume whenever Ramsey Bolton gets what's coming his way.
Keith, you know, when I get to sit in your seats every once in a while, I am the purple shirt man.
I know.
You're really not. John.
Not so true.
John at a live sporting event can be a bit much.
Oh, awful.
But he's still, I feel like he has some amount of restraint that this man didn't seem to have. Maybe if John was on the court
on the margins.
Side.
On the margins. I've seen John tell Jaromir Jagr that he had like specifically tawdry affairs with prostitutes.
I had some inside info.
I think a big difference for me is you at the very least would likely be wearing either
shirt. That's exactly what John would be wearing.
You probably would. I was gonna say sometimes
I usually wear a leisure suit of the color of my team.
You do kind of wear. I feel like whatever the fact that his shirt was baggy and it seemed to have like a rope belt, that really just threw me off.
Yeah, that seemed
didn't
crazy.
Enjoy it.
He's just some SEC conference frat guy.
Yeah, so sorry that you're now just waiting for North Carolina and or Duke to start. I'm not sure what one of those two colleges.
It has to be. Oh, it could be either one. I was going to make a disparaging remark. It could be either one. It could be NC State,
He's
honestly.
He's probably Wake Forest.
No, I mean, and then the related ancillary related.
This better be good, Keith.
To purple shirt guy is Drake.
Oh yeah.
Who I was cheering for the Raptors against the Pacers until the whole Drake got in Rodney Stuckey's like behind his head.
He thinks he's that dude.
And then I'm like, this guy is the biggest front running guy anyway. I don't get Drake. Like I miss out on a lot of pop culture, so I don't quite understand his thing anyway.
Yeah.
But then to see him on courtside, whatever, getting up clapping in a guy's face, I was like, now I'm cheering against the Raptors.
So that's all it takes.
It's all it takes. I'm very fickle.
One or two multimillionaires acting like a jerk turns Keith off.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. am I wrong here?
No, you're a populist, and that's what I love about you.
Okay, good.
Sounds pretty good to me. I feel like, we better get to your actual...
No, that's my steak and eggs. My steak and eggs is just the Dwayne Wade response to defeating...
You and Chuck are synergized.
We are synergized. Mm-hmm.
Trying to beat me up in dreams. We're like,
we're like women who have synced their cycles.
Absolutely. Best thing for me this week, absolutely, hands down, the greatest NBA moment of all time occurred, where the refs so horribly botched a finish to a game that everyone is just laughing at them, especially Mark Davis. Mark Davis didn't just swallow his whistle at the end of Spurs Thunder. It went through into his esophagus, went through peristalsis or whatever it's called, into his stomach, into his smaller and larger intestine, out his sphincter and into the toilet. That no fouls were going to be called under any circumstances. Manu Ginobili was cheating. Everyone was cheating at all times.
I mean, we were talking about fans.
Right.
The purple shirt. Yeah. A fan grabbed Steven Adams by the arm.
I think it was a lady.
I think there needs to be more into that. I haven't heard the follow-up to the Steven Adams thing.
Seeing the officials just completely butcher the ending like that.
And it wasn't even just the refs. The clock started early.
I mean,
everyone was jammed up.
It was a stunning indictment of everything that's wrong with the NBA, and I think it may actually result in some change.
I vehemently disagree with you on all counts.
Really? You thought that was the worst thing?
No. Well, you thought it was
handled well.
You're saying that there was massive errors on everyone's part.
Right.
I'm saying a lot of weird things happened.
And it'll result in changes.
You don't think so?
One, all right, I don't know. One, I think the refs did fine.
Really?
I don't think anything. So this was actually going to be my worst thing.
Right.
Is the reaction. The reaction you kind of just enunciated.
Right.
The world's reaction to the last 2 minute report came out and the NBA admitted they missed five calls in the last 13 and a half seconds. And everyone's like, oh, it's terrible. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. So here's
I mean, the Spurs still missed all those shots. It was hysterical.
Here's where I start. One, the foul calls before the inbound pass. Mm-hmm. No one wants to see those fouls called.
I agree.
Like, if you wanted the two missed call holds, like, called, like, no one wants that. Like, it's kind of a scrum. So then you have the weirdness, the play we've never seen before.
Right.
The Deion Waiters elbowing Ginobili flopping backwards. So my
also, why is Deion Waiters doing that? Why is he in that position?
Why is he in that position is the question of the
day. He has, like, 0.8 assists a game.
So I look at it as... I imagine Mark Davis, who we've actually talked about a lot,
anti-Grizz,
because we feel like he has it out for the Grizzlies.
He hates Marc Gasol.
I'm sure a lot of fan bases feel like Mark Davis has it out for them as well.
Right.
But so Mark Davis is in the last 13 seconds of a playoff game, which suddenly got to be a 1 point game because they fouled LaMarcus Aldridge on a 3-pointer, and so Mark Davis is counting the five count. He's watching to make sure Deion Waiters doesn't stray from his spot, and he's looking for fouls. The elbow came, you know, at like the four count on right. the 5 second call. So I'm imagining, and I haven't mentioned it in months. I'd like to cite my very, very short career as a mediocre basketball ref.
Terrible.
No, but you,
they would throw you out as a witness based on this.
Oh, they would. That's true. But you have to consider. So like Mark Davis is counting to five at four. He's like, he probably thinks, wait, what just happened?
Right.
Like he sees Deion Waiters kind of reach in and he sees Ginobili flop back. And his thought is 4.5. Like he's going four, but I'm about to call a five count. And it's like his split second is, what in the world just happened?
Right.
And he has a tenth of a second to say, all right, I'm going to blow my whistle. And so everyone yelling like, oh, this is terrible. This is like, how do you miss this? My question is, everyone is like, is it in the rule book that the inbounder can commit a personal foul? Like,
certainly not.
Like, everyone yelling this, it's like, this isn't even codified in the rule book. They hadn't thought about it. Like, and yes, you're not supposed to break the plane with any part of your body, but we have courtside seats within so close to the sideline out of bounds that's why they always tell the inbounder, like, they tell Manu Ginobili, hey, stand here. You have to give him 3 feet. So Ginobili doesn't give him that 3 feet. Ginobili steps in and actually steps over the line. And
oh,
so,
yeah.
So the first offense he could call is the delay of game. But
right, which is a technical.
Yeah, but so they changed that rule.
And I've never seen, I think usually they miss that call.
Right.
I've never seen anyone put their foot across the line.
Right. So
I think that separates it from your usual call.
If you remember from the mid-90s, you know, everyone did that.
Right.
Because they didn't change the rule. It used to be everyone came out of the timeout. You set up your inbounds play, and then the guy guarding the inbounder just stepped over and took the delay of game because you wanted to see what they were going to run.
Right.
So they finally changed that rule, and they made it so punitive, they made it with the technical foul, that now it makes it difficult for the refs to make that call.
Right.
Because you're like, yeah, Ginobili's kind of close, but if I call a tech, that's a huge call. That, again,
there's kind of close, and then there's what Ginobili was doing.
Yeah. So Ginobili...
I don't think you should reward that type of tomfoolery.
So I'm with you. So Ginobili does push it too far.
Right.
And then... Again, Mark Davis probably not looking at Deion Waiters' elbow because no inbounder has ever fouled a person in the history of basketball.
No.
Right.
Like, it's never happened in high school. It's never happened in college.
But what I don't get is you think that it's okay that he allowed it to happen.
Yeah. I'm saying in this situation, it is...
We're going to give him a mulligan.
I'm going to give him a mulligan because, okay. Again, if you're going to make... that would have... If he called a personal foul on an inbounder... Oh, so
an unprecedented call in basketball.
And
history.
if we go through the scenario that at he just counted four and then he calls the foul, and instead of calling a 5 second or something, now Mark Davis blows his whistle.
Can I give you a better argument?
Okay.
Basically, what Manu Ginobili and what Deion Waiters did canceled each other out.
That's fine too.
Because that's the only compelling argument I can see for not calling anything.
I would say
because who wins that argument between the fan bases? Like, Ginobili got fouled, and then the Thunder fans could say, well, Ginobili was all over the – he was crossing – he was committing a
– It's one of those things, if you don't call the first infraction, don't call the next thing.
Right.
Like, kind of let it go. But again, my thought is, I think if Mark Davis blows his whistle there, he's not going to call a straight foul. They're going to huddle up.
Right.
There's going to be a whistle blown. People are going to freak out and not know what to call. And literally that ref conversation is going to be – what is that, a tech? What do we call? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like I just blew my whistle. What is this? So I think, again, he had a brief moment where he probably wasn't even staring at waiter's arms.
Yeah.
He sees Ginobili flop, and he's like, what? And in that 1 second, waiters throws a terrible pass. So then it doesn't even matter, technically,
right?
Because the Spurs get the ball, and they have a 3-on-1. Mm-hmm. So, I mean...
Well, let's continue.
Yeah.
With the referee gaffes.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Green steals that ball, immediately travels.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even...
Second, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Goes to the hole. The Spurs players completely lose their mind, and nobody wants to shoot, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Manu Ginobili could have probably dunked that.
Yeah, he could have hit the floater.
But the Thunder players foul everyone under the basket,
right,
especially LaMarcus Aldridge. And then to top it off, Steven Adams, who has like one of the greatest big man closeouts ever on that three-pointer.
Right.
If that gets completely taken out of the play right in front of a ref by a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the ref is looking right at it.
I'm telling you, those refs, they look over, but then they're not going to look at the guy in the stands. They're looking back at the play.
Yeah, sure.
So my only honest objection,
right,
to the last scrum. So after the ball is inbounded, to me, that was just sublime.
Right.
That was beauty. That was, and again, I badly wanted the Spurs to win. Like this is not one of the series where I hadn't picked it. Like, I actually am enjoying cheering for the Spurs. So the final scrum to me was just amazing.
Because if you're a Grizzlies fan, you're so used to stuff like this.
Right. And I feel like if you're a basketball player,
right,
you're used to that. Even if you're lowest level Y League pickup, whatever league, last minute is crazy, like a last possession. So I think my only objection, if I thought a foul should have been called, I did think the LaMarcus Aldridge, when he got the he grabbed that Patty Mills shot and was trying to go back up, and he got pretty much hammered.
He got elbowed on the top of his head, yeah, twice.
But again, the part of me who looks at the officials sometimes, like, there actually was no referee in great position in my mind to call that.
Right.
And they probably thought there was a contact. But again, going back to my middling experience, they taught us, hey, if you're going to make a call in like the last 5 seconds of a game that people are going to go like, people are going to be like kind of freak out about,
mm-hmm,
everyone needs to see it.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, and that goes back to the Ginobili push off on the out of bounds thing. If he's going to make a call that's like, yeah, I got a foul on the inbounds thrower, like, not just Chris Webber needed to see it. Not, you know, like, it's one of those like, they said it's got to bite you in the butt.
Yeah.
That was the Middle Tennessee terminology.
Another, I know our actual conversation has become a bit diluted and muddled, and I'm not sure what we're arguing about anymore. But
yeah,
the people who say Greg Popovich should have called timeout are out of their minds.
It's right. 3-on-1.
It was perfect.
Momentum.
I mean, I think if waiters had done that and the ball was inbounded to Kevin Durant and he got fouled, maybe I would feel differently,
mm-hmm,
but to me, it was all like, I completely understand the refs not making this call that had never been made in the history of basketball. And then the rest of it was
just
like,
but then they were just shocked and they didn't call anything at
right.
all.
No, that's true. But again, I feel like we have so many games with the end and these wild scrums that it was just like, yeah, that's basketball. Like, that's what the NBA, that's fun. Like, I thought it was amazing. I thought it was an incredible ending. Now we got best of five.
Well, that's
like,
why I have it in my best, but yeah, mostly because I'm really thrilled at the prospect of maybe Mark Davis getting taken off of the playoffs for a bit. Because I feel like he's become the worst official in the game.
Really?
And that's really saying something, because there's so many bad ones.
I feel like there's so many guys that get on my nerves, but I feel like I like it in the playoffs now where the rotations get shorter.
Yeah.
And you see a guy like Ed Malloy, who I generally don't like.
Right.
But now I see him as like the third guy on the team.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're with Duke and with whoever, you know, like whoever else. And like, you're actually like the third guy on the tournament bowl. Like, oh, you're pretty good as a third, you know, as like the not in charge guy. So.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I agree that it was an awesome finish and I really enjoyed it. And I thought the Spurs deserved to win. Like, but.
You mean the Thunder?
What? No, I thought the Spurs deserved to win.
See, I thought the Thunder deserved to win because they, like, the Spurs were terrible the whole game.
Because they weathered the storm?
Yeah.
Well, to me, why the Spurs deserved to win was an amazing performance by, to me, who's gone from, like, the sneakiest superstar to an out-and-out superstar, and that's LaMarcus Aldridge.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that was just him icing those 3 points, the three free throws was such a like microcosmic moment for what he had done that whole game.
And even Mark Davis tried to ice him. Like, he took the ball to wipe the ball.
Absolutely he did. I'm telling you, Mark Davis is a disaster and an affront to everything that's good about basketball.
Oh, that's funny.
He has the people he likes.
It could be true. I don't know.
He hates Marc Gasol more than anyone in the world.
He doesn't like the Grizzlies. He's called some of the strangest pregame. He called pregame technical fouls on the Grizzlies. Never seen that before in my life.
He's like our last Joey Crawford look at me ref.
See, I think we talked about this. Like, I feel like Malloy is a look at me. I feel like Zarba gets on my nerves too.
Zarba's really coming for the title.
Yeah, this is awesome. This is a deep cut. We have an NBA
NBA references for the first 10 minutes to NBA references that very few people will understand.
That's right. Chuck, do you have what's your steak and eggs?
My steak and eggs, best of the week. I like what happens in L.A. with their new coach situation.
Are you fighting about Luke Walton?
Boom. Oh, no, it's not Mark Madsen. I'm sorry. I saw the picture, and I thought it was him. I didn't read the article.
Similar level of talent.
No, Luke Walton's – yeah, Luke. They are effectively the same player. Luke Walton's great.
Luke Walton's Mark Madsen with a Grateful Dead tattoo.
Yeah, and the Lakers are buying into a coach of sorts that hasn't really ever won a game. He's kind of Schrodinger's coach. You know, he's been in this weird limbo place where he won a coach of the month, but wasn't credited with any victories. So they're buying into the Laker tradition. I think they're buying into the Walton name. I think that comes along with kind of like that LA prestige.
Definitely LA vibe. I mean, you know, he has that Lakers pedigree.
Yeah, and he was out there chasing rings,
will eventually mean nothing to our children's children.
Right, my son will not know anything about how great the Lakers were.
Lakers pedigree will be what Magic Johnson tweets.
But yeah, so I mean, that's
my worst of the week.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. We'll save that.
I mean, you know, and you're looking at a franchise that. They have to make the playoffs every year, and I can't see a scenario short of them doing some sort of weird Bill Simmons trade for Paul George that lets them into the playoffs in the next two or 3 years.
That is a perfect description. The Bill Simmons trade. A trade that can never happen.
A trade that'll never happen, but just will be talked about on Twitter for 2 days.
He's like, who hangs up here? Come on now. Yeah. Paul George for nothing.
Who says no?
That's right. Yeah.
All right, now what's the opposite of that? What is your cream of wheat worst of week?
Let's get back to Magic Johnson.
Yes, oh yeah, is the previously teased Magic Johnson.
He presented a twofold, two-tier, two-step plan to fix the Lakers this weekend via Twitter. Are you guys ready for this?
I'm ready.
Simple plan.
How would I fix the Lakers?
Is it to trade for Paul George,
Mr. Magic Johnson?
You're close, but instead of trading, check this out. Number one, sign Kevin Durant.
Oh, that's a good move.
That's a pretty good move. And maybe, you know, the Lakers' prestige, they could sway him.
Yeah.
But Irvin isn't done yet.
What if they can promise him a role in Space Jam 2?
Irvin's not done yet.
We got stuff
Step
to talk
two.
About.
Step two. Sign LeBron James.
Yeah.
Who says no?
I believe it was a call LeBron James. He's probably not leaving, but we just want to make sure.
Yeah, you want to check all your bases because that's, yeah, exactly what every franchise
Magic Johnson
do.
Has hit the, if you're on Twitter, it's hard to tell because there's like parody Magic Johnson accounts.
Yeah.
And it's just impossible to tell. Like, you have to look at it like, no, that's Magic Johnson.
I'll tell you one thing I can tell. His assistant is not tweeting for him. Those are coming straight from the mouth and mind.
That ain't no Trump work.
Of Irvin Magic.
Speaking of straight from the tweet, this isn't mine, but just a little aside to this. Phil Jackson, again, getting Knicks fans all up in a Twitter, if you will.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. While not the Knicks don't have a coach, people aren't crazily, you know, crazy happy about the way the franchise is going. However, Phil just want to let you know if you're ever in Sioux Falls where you can get good Thai food. Just tweeting out, you never know where you'll find good Thai food. I'm in Sioux Falls.
Phil Jackson has had...
And like all the responses are like, why don't you find a good coach? Like
it's fun. It's easy to equate Phil Jackson's life to Forrest Gump's, but for like true cinephiles, there's a movie called Being There, starring Peter Sellers, directed by Hal Ashby, wherein a mentally handicapped, perhaps severely autistic gardener daughters and stumbles into like a role as a presidential advisor and like talk show sensation. I feel like Montana Phil is pretty close to this.
What percentage of our audience do you think
has seen Being There?
Knows what you're talking about.
That's why I went with Forrest Gump first.
That's
that was slightly.
It really is. Yeah.
I mean, Phil's just, he's been in all these historical moments. And when you see his actual personality, you're just like, how, what?
Yeah.
Why?
That man's just getting paid $12 million a year to drive around the Northwest.
It's like marries into the Lakers dynasty.
Yeah.
Gives like people like he's Buddhist gonna, cookbooks and people think it's brilliant. It's like, what? How does that help Kobe? That just pissed Kobe off.
Does that make Jenny Buss Shirley MacLaine?
Oh, that's pretty good. Or Jenny.
We can swap them around.
I'm proud of your references. I'm just worried none of our listeners are getting them.
Somebody go watch Being There.
Yeah.
Man, if you would put the odds on Chuck knowing Being There.
Right, exactly.
Did you just Google that?
No.
That was incredible.
That just blew my mind. There's a period of time where I was pretty sure the only movies Chuck had seen were Goodfellas and Scarface.
Bad Boys.
My brother was a huge Peter Sellers
fan. Bad Boys too.
Watched them all the time. Monty Python, Peter Sellers. Great.
My worst thing is a continuation. We already talked about a lot of it. The people getting upset the last 2 minutes. It's also kind of... I'll actually switch it. Part of it was people yelling, so the Heat won game one against the Raptors in spectacular fashion, mainly based on we had a half-court shot, a half-court game-tying shot, which was incredible.
Poor
not,
Kyle.
Not to me.
But packaged around that was 30 minutes that included nine or 10 timeouts, 3 instant replay reviews. And once again, on the final play, when Dwayne Wade stole the ball, people erupting with, didn't he travel?
Yeah.
Like, guys... Like, he dove on the floor to pick the ball up. I'm pretty sure he had his knee as a pivot. Also, the NBA is pretty loose when you get on the ball, the ground with the ball. He released the ball for a dribble. Let's quit calling, like, desperately hoping for weird calls. This goes back to our pickup game thing.
The pickup game.
Don't be the pickup game guy. You're like, was that a travel?
Yeah, you're not calling a charge.
Like, dude, you got scored on.
Yeah,
like, that's it. Dude, come on. Like, Dwayne Wade made an awesome play to finally save that game, even though Luol Deng was openly, brazenly shaving points. They were up 6 with like 30 seconds left in both regulation and overtime.
Both games.
And Luol Deng...
Danny Ferry was yelling at his TV.
Took Danny Ferry. I told you. We'll say no more. Him, Luol Deng taking off the baseline. So my thing is, again, like... People, let's not get so carried away about these. I feel like there's been gross miscalls in sports before.
Right.
These haven't been them for me. These are just like, this is just basketball. Like, crazy stuff happens in the games.
It could just be fun. It's kind of where we live, though, now with like instant replay. And
yeah, it's like
kind of like half of what people like invest their energy into when they watch perform like sports. Like, half of it is the relationship between the officials and the players. I mean, that's like a huge thing for people.
So. They made
a movie about an official, an NBA official, didn't they?
Billy Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Forget Paris?
Forget Paris. Meg Ryan.
Yeah, man, really great. We are really sad.
We should just do a... In the off season, we should just do movie podcasts.
We've gone from highbrow to the lowest of brow. Can we at least tie this into George Mirasan somehow?
I never saw My Giant. Never saw it.
Nope.
No one did.
Chuck, what's your worst
man,
thing?
Man, Space Jam 2. You guys talked about it earlier.
Oh, yeah. I just meant.
I don't care about LeBron. It's just they let Jeremy Lin direct it for some reason. And I just found out that Jeremy Lin directed like a bunch of the Fast and Furious movies.
Well, he did go to Harvard. He's a multifaceted Renaissance man.
Mm-hmm.
He does look like a...
Oh, no. I just Googled this. It's just
he looks like a film director with the hair. He's trying so hard.
He looks like a jerk. I'm so glad that the Hornets lost. I know you guys like Jeremy Lin.
I will not have any anti-Jeremy Lin speech.
I know you guys talk about him.
Yeah, that's not the way to go to the podcast.
This is the way that I just, you know. In reality, though, Lin has kind of become this...
Jeremy or Justin?
Both. they've proven themselves after coming out kind of in a superstar fashion. No, I thought he was going to be a flash in the pan kind of guy after that.
Justin.
Jeremy. Jeremy. after the first Fast and Furious.
Adrian Lin directed nine and a half weeks.
You're telling me they took the guy who... We had True Detective and then True Detective 2... The first like five were directed by, I think a lot of them were directed. I know the A lot of them were directed by Justin Lin. So you're telling me the guy who does True Detective 2 is now directing the next Space Jam. I'm not excited.
Yeah, I don't care much about... Here's the thing.
Well, I don't think nuance here's is important the, no, in a Space Jam. Yeah.
Who plays the Sean Bradley role? That's what I'm
Or the Muggsy Bogues, the comedy.
It's Boban.
Oh.
He's not, I don't think he's big enough.
No.
Who's the tallest NBA player now?
But if Boban's not big enough, oh, man.
Who's the tallest NBA player?
Good question.
Isn't Boban thinking now? It's got to be Boban. 7'3"?
Boban it is.
I think you put like Porzingis in there, maybe.
Oh, wait a minute. It needs to be the tallest wide NBA player because why wasn't Manute Bol in the Sean Bradley?
Yeah. That's true. I don't know. Who cares?
I feel like Nick Young's going to be in it.
Yeah.
Swaggy P, does he play
somehow
the
Swaggy P is going to be in it.
Swaggy, Muggsy.
Who plays you the know, human roles?
The human roles?
Oh. You know who plays the human
Seth
roles.
Seth Rogen. No, it's they all got to be basketball fans, right?
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, you're probably... I was going to think maybe...
In the middle of a massive...
In my mind, Channing Tatum gets in there somehow.
Oh, God, you're probably right.
Yeah. He's a guy I feel like I should not like, but I like him.
Really? Yeah. Did you see Hateful Eight?
I haven't yet, actually.
Most irksome cameo performance in a
Don't
long
Don't give me
time.
Cameos. Those are spoilers, John.
How funny
that movie came out like 18 months ago.
I think
came out when Dwayne Wade hit his last three. And I have a kid, and I haven't seen it. It's hard to catch those three-hour Westerns now.
It's not very good. It's very self-adorable.
Do you guys remember, like, this Space Jam talk has been going on for a while, that with, like, trying to cast
you ever
it.
Look at the old website? It's still there?
Still there
on GeoCities? Or?
But the funny thing is, how much is LeBron accepting this role now? Kind of him saying, oh, yeah, I'm good right now. Because in 2 years, people aren't going to be talking about LeBron as... Like in an upper echelon, you know, he's not going to be talking. You're not going to be talking about for the MVP.
He's a star. Shaq has really lost.
What I'm saying is
lost focus on what LeBron is now.
In a couple years, though, Steph Curry's going to be.
Steph Curry's going to be in the movie.
That's what I'm saying. Is he?
He has to be in the movie.
I would imagine he will be.
They
in the movie
they
now.
Will they will pay millions and millions to get him.
But
in the
but
movie.
That's no. But that
Steph Curry.
Fit.
I think I can get inside confirmation that Steph Curry is a huge Space Jam fan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's a surprise, surprise. But no, I mean, why wouldn't in a year it's a real discussion whether or not Steph Curry should be starring in Space Jam.
The
my
question
point.
Is if they can keep the LeBron's buddies out, because we don't need it all Carmelo, Dwayne Wade.
Well, absolutely.
Chris
Here's
Paul.
What's going to happen. Here's why the old ways were better. Let me get off my lawn for a second.
Get off my
old
lawn.
Old Space Jam? You had like Grandmama in it and Muggsy Bogues and Sean Bradley and like characters who weren't necessarily the best players or the most marketable players. Now it's totally going to be like LeBron, Steph,
right.
KD, Melo, everyone from the large market, you know.
Blake Griffin will be in the movie.
Yeah, it'll be. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
There's no,
driving
there's,
a
there's,
Kia.
Unless he punches testes in the face again.
Who would your Space Jam guys be? Because I would go more like original Space Jam. I'd get the characters. Draymond would be on there.
I would put.
Tony Allen.
Tony Allen would have to be there.
Giannis.
Yeah.
He would
Greek
be,
Freak.
And his arms would just extend when he became a monster.
Yeah.
You know? It would be.
I mean, if the NBA was pushing it, mm-hmm. if it wasn't being like a studio, some multinational Hollywood studio running it, I feel like the NBA was pushing it, it'd be more fun. You'd have Kat, you'd have Giannis, you'd have Porzingis.
I think for sure.
They'd be pushing their future
guys. I
want
personalities, though. When you said Swaggy P, like, that's what I'm talking about.
My thing is...
That's genius.
Getting the look.
JaVale.
The looks are important. So Birdman... You go with that.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Hit us up on Twitter.
Birdman,
NBA
Monstar.
Jam casting couch.
Yeah.
Or excuse me.
That's yeah,
Space
not,
Jam
that's
2.
That's going to be gross.
Space Jam 2 casting
That's going to be,
couch.
I'm not even, don't Google that.
Mm-mm. Don't never Google casting couch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's perfect. So we pretty much, we've been yammering on. Real quick, do we want to wrap up anything in a scattered, smothered, covered way, do we want to talk any more about the any of the series that have wrapped up? We said goodbye to the Clippers, goodbye to the Pacers, goodbye to the Hornets.
Can we talk about the Pacers? Can we bid them adieu by questioning like everything they might be doing? We don't know if they're doing.
Yeah.
But what did Frank Vogel not do to get his job back?
Right.
It could be the last 10 seconds of that game 7 where there were literally three Raptors lying on the ground and his team had the rebound down 3. And he called timeout when they were like had an easy fast break.
He went reverse pop.
He went and he called and the timeout was after a pass, so they didn't get to advance the ball. It was a staggering. What in the world are you doing? And then they came out with a quick two, and then that was the series. It was a. I feel like I feel like the way to beat Dwayne Casey in the playoffs is just to wait for his team to fall apart.
Yeah, Dwayne Casey's
and they were falling apart, and then Vogel kind of shut down the final rally with that final timeout. So, but I don't know. But you are right.
Right.
Larry Bird, the man who fired Rick Carlisle.
Right.
Now not sure he's going to bring Vogel back.
Who's he going to bring in next? Red Auer back? I mean, he's having great coach after great coach.
Jim O'Brien.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jim O'Brien. Good Lord.
That man was first.
Reed Richards, baby. The White Walls.
Space and pace.
Jimmy Walnuts. He looked amazing.
Yep. I feel like we should mention the Austin Rivers got bloodied and bruised.
Oh, he got toe up.
I think in the between quarter interview with Doc Rivers, they were like, I know it's one of your players, but how's it feel seeing your son all bloodied? And Doc Rivers was like, I don't have a son. It's kind of rough. Great. It's kind of horrible.
Mm-hmm. He looked like Jared.
He actually said, well, it's not that. It's just, I mean, all these players are my son. Like, yeah. I'm glad Doc Rivers is not my dad.
Yeah.
Mm. Outside of the nepotism of the world, that part might be good.
Yeah.
Like, I could probably get a pretty sweet NBA-related job.
Did any of your dads coach your rec league teams?
No.
Mm-mm. No, my dad doesn't know sports. He's Irish.
There are two kinds of rec league dads.
Yep.
Coach dads. And then there's my dad. There's the most of the rec league dads, coaches, they play their son all the time, no matter what.
Okay.
Whether he's good or bad.
Right.
So you usually have the kid, the dad with the bad kid, and the dad with the good kid. Then there was my dad,
okay,
who either hated me so much or was so concerned that even though I've been the same height since I was about 11, so at that time I was one of the tallest, biggest kids.
Yeah,
I still led our team in scoring and everything. My dad would play me one half only.
Oh,
because he was so I don't know if he was scared of the other parents or he was just trying to teach me life lessons or build character. And then he would take me.
He failed on both those accounts.
Or he was a dick.
Yeah, he would take me to the All-Star thing, like where the coaches made the All-Star teams.
Right, right.
And all the other coaches would be like, well, your son's going to be on there, right? And my dad would be like, no. No, he's not. And I'd be sitting next to him.
Oh, wow.
I feel like he's trying to teach you lessons.
I feel
like he was like, this is a great lesson.
My dad's maybe the greatest slash worst basketball dad ever. His other technique, when we would play pickup games, my dad, like me and my dad would play each other. And my dad would smoke while we played. And my dad's way of staving off my defense would be to wave the cigarette around so that I couldn't guard him. And then he would take a three-pointer from the same spot. I think my dad missed that three-pointer 5 times in my entire life.
Oh, man. That scene needs to be in Space Jam.
Yeah.
At the opening.
I want to see LeBron smoking a cigarette.
LeBron's dad with a cigarette, like, come at me. Coming out of the posts, if you dare.
Or Delonte West.
Put him in Space Jam.
He should be in Space Jam.
Harley Davidson full of shotguns.
We gotta get Sprewell in there. We gotta get cameos. Oh, they gotta cameo this out.
Javaris Crittenden. Pull him out of jail.
I mean, you gotta get Silver
Work
in there.
Release program.
Silver looks like a Monstar.
He does.
Like you gotta get him. You gotta get him doing.
So many
Joey Crawford's last ride could be in Space Jam too.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Finally, be the star of his own movie.
Yep. All right, well, I think that brings us to the awards segment of the evening.
Playoff edition.
Before we get there, I do want to tell you about our friends at Fan Essentials, who has branched out into NFL gear, if you like that kind of thing. They might be flirting with college. Don't do it. Don't do it. But anyway, for NBA fans, they have NBA gear for every team. You sign up for a subscription. They start at $14.99. You get 30% off if you enter our code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast. And then we can afford more gear, like this brand new... What is it? C-class signal processor that we're learning how to use. Go to Fan Essentials, get all the essentials you need, fanessentials.net, and get all the essentials you need. Use our code. Help us out. All right. The International Stackhouse of Pancakes, which is awarded to the worst performance in a box score. We have a few honorable mentions this week. Kevin Love, 4-for-17. Russ Westbrook, 5-for-19. Kyle Lowry, 4 everything that you were doing in the playoffs, staying late after the game, shooting till 1 a.m. Brother, just chill. You need to relax. You need to go to Waffle House or Charlie Bob's or whatever there is in Toronto.
When your teammate, the other guy who's supposed to be the scorer, when his dribbling problems reach an apex in the playoffs, like, I cannot watch DeMar DeRozan dribble ever again. It is painful.
I don't.
He is an all-star.
I don't want to get distracted. Should Corey Joseph be playing like 30 minutes and Lowry like 25 until they work it out? Mm-hmm. Like,
I don't know.
Like, Corey Joseph is playing really well this playoffs.
Why can't they
and
do...
And they're terrible.
Why can't they play them both?
They can. They do yeah. share the time, but I'm saying but I'm saying Kyle Lowry's playing 40 minutes a night and is atrocious.
Well, that's just one of the... I mean, this happened last year, too.
I know. It's happened before.
So you have to wonder about the level of competition increasing in the playoffs.
I don't know. It seems like it's more. Anyway, let's not get... let's that's a whole other can of worms. Let's just get to our iShop nominees. We have three nominees this week. In chronological order, as they occurred, Evan Turner, back in round one, in a loss, 4 for 17, 8.7 boards, 4 assists, a turnover, and 5 fouls, 4 for 17, 8 points. Kemba Walker, game 7. Ugh. It's win or go home. Oh, I will take go home, thank you.
Kemba gonna Kemba.
3 for 16, 9 points, 6 assists, 1 board, 1 steal, 3 turnovers. Frank the Foreman Kaminsky in game 7. Win or go home. I'll take the latter. 3 for 15. 12 points, 6 boards, 2 assists. So we have Evan Turner, 4 for 17. Kemba Walker, 3 for 16.
I have strong thoughts about this.
Frank the Foreman, 3 for 15. Yes, John?
I feel like if you don't realize that it's Kemba Walker, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Because he is the player they rely on most.
He disappeared.
And he totally... chucked it in the
air. He could have the icing on the cake, I'm the ninth man off the bench roll,
right,
and still take home the iShop.
Yeah,
in right. my book.
Okay.
Good. Three for 16, but yes, he is their best player. Three for 16 in game 7. 3 for 16 alone gets it. Pretty ugly way to go out. And now that Hornets team with all kinds of free agents and not ways to keep them all. So, and do they even want to keep them?
I know you love this Hornets team, but I don't think this. I think this team was like a complete bizarre shot in the dark.
I don't love this Hornets team. This
you
Hornets
Steve,
team.
You love Steve Clifford.
This Hornets team won me over this year. Right. I found them to be one of the more interesting teams. They did finish, you know, top 10 in both offense and defense this year. One of the few teams that did that. But I didn't expect anything. They had a fun ride. Now they're in a weird, do we try to run it back? We lost in the first round. Do we run it back?
Run it back, baby.
Even though we don't have a chance. But anyway. Yes, Kemba Walker, you are this week's International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner.
Okay. Playoff edition.
Our parfait away. No Grizzlies epilogue. We'll be back at that next week, talking a little off-season, some places that we think players might go and who the Grizzlies might want to get. But our parfait away are things that we are looking forward to in the coming week. What do we got?
Not the Eastern Conference playoff games. I feel like it's a foregone conclusion on both fronts.
Which fronts are they? You're saying you think it's foregone? You think the Heat are gonna win this against the Raptors?
I think the Heat and the Cavs will win each of their series in 5 games.
I don't think so.
This guy.
Yeah, I like the Heat, but they're going 6 at the very minimum. They might go.
Dwayne Casey's such a fraud, though. God.
I don't know who to blame. I guess it's Casey, but it's the players, and I don't know.
I like their roster, except for DeMar DeRozan and his dribbling.
Well, so the thing I'm looking forward to is once your team gets eliminated, my team being the Grizzlies,
right?
Then you're free to whore yourself out to whoever's fun to cheer for.
And you have gone full favorites.
I've gone full favorites. Well, also, this is a year, and actually the last couple years, in my mind, there's no more bad guys. I don't know. I guess some people really hate LeBron. Mm-hmm. But like for me, I guess that
LeBron in that last game, that was a sublime performance.
It was so good. Really so I finally got to lay the Grizzlies to rest. So now I just get to cheer for the teams that I enjoy watching. So I'm out here like a bandwagon. I'm cheering for the Warriors. I'm cheering for the Spurs. I'm cheering for the Cavs.
I enjoy watching all of these teams except for the Heat.
Well, so that was my take. You in our text thread, John was like, you're not going to throw Chuck some love and cheer for the Heat. Like the Heat Raptors series, one, I don't care who wins. Two, no one does. Like, it's meaningless.
You need,
like, you know who
you
does
need
care?
Cavs. You
the
need,
NBA yeah. and Adam Silver and well, we, the ratings people.
You guys point out accurately, yes, we do need LeBron versus the Heat.
Right.
We need this as a effing podcast.
No, that's true too.
You know,
that's the fight
Chuck
against the.
Got, Chuck just got so clear-minded he censored himself.
Yeah. That's the fight against burnout we need.
Right.
Yeah.
I need this in my life as a Heat fan.
But I had the break with the recording, so I'm like really raring to go.
Oh yeah, you're
so like
you're finally out of the music world.
And I'm actually going to Miami. I'm going to catch a game in Miami
Chuck.
That's
the way to
do it.
I haven't watched
I want to see you on TV. I want that shirt off.
All I'm saying is that Heat Raptor series is the one series without a contender.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So the other series are the right. legit ones. So
we can. I am
the
that.
East yeah. is a foregone conclusion.
West
to me wide open.
I think it's wide open. I'm so excited. Yeah. So
I think LeBron and Kyrie are just they're not friends anymore. They hate each other. They don't follow each other on Instagram.
What team in the East is going to beat that team?
No, they're playing so well.
I know, but I just hope the infighting and the pressure of the moment of playing back.
LeBron's never lost to the Hawks in the playoffs.
They right. beat the Hawks 8 times in a row.
Yeah, and this is after beating the Pistons 12 times in a row. But I mean,
LeBron has been known to let emotions interfere with his performance.
All right, so to wrap it
he
up,
has.
To close it.
I watched it happen.
What do you guys think? Let's go ahead and make ourselves look stupid. What's going to happen this round?
I'm going Heat 7.
Okay.
I'm going Cavs 5.
Yep.
I think the Spurs go 5. I think they're going
to. So you think the Thunder already got their one?
Yeah, the Thunder got their one.
Wow.
Okay.
And I think the Warriors 5 or 6.
So
depending on what part of me is thinking that they may do what I if they don't want to get too far ahead,
just chill
and let it work out.
But if that other series goes long, it'll take care of themselves and they can wrap.
Yeah,
it up.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm similar to you, Chuck. Before it started. I had Cavs 5, I still feel good about. I had Heat 6, still feel good about. I went Spurs 5, which obviously them losing a game at home made me be like, uh-oh. But that was a game where Durant and Westbrook were both on, and most importantly, Ibaka was on fire.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't been getting these games. Like, is Ibaka going to find his shot now and not play kind of terribly on offense? Well, then that means they're actually good.
Right.
But everything else, and that still came down to, like, Patty Mills couldn't hit his shot. The Spurs played kind of not great. And it's still, they had a 3-on-1 fast break to win the game. Mm-hmm. So, despite all the officiating. So I still feel like, I guess I'll stick with Spurs in 5, even though it looks wrong, just because that was my pick before the series started. I went Warriors in 6, and I'm a little concerned about that. I think the Blazers can take care of business at home. They had a really tough loss on Tuesday night where they blew a big lead, and they were still in it. So, yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. What about you, John?
I'll stick with my earlier predictions. I feel like we had a good grip on these. We're all saying the same thing.
I think it's chalk.
Yeah.
Yeah, we feel like we have a, like,
I think the Thunder will do better than you guys did. I think Keith, did you predict a sweep?
No, I said 5, but I thought it was going to be kind of comfortable.
Right.
The first game was very comfortable. The second game,
it was chaos.
It made sense to me.
The Thunder's performance was pretty heroic in that they weathered those Spurs comebacks.
The comebacks.
And then it had comebacks themselves.
Well, so I thought the Spurs would handle, that's some good English,
that's very Chuck Anderson.
The Thunder in this series, but I actually thought they might struggle game one because of the transition from playing the Grizzlies to actually going to a good NBA team.
It's the rookie to all Madden challenge.
But they aced that.
Just throw it in the garbage.
They aced that test so well that then that letdown to me came in the second game where they're like, we swept the Grizzlies. Now we crushed the Thunder. Now we're coming out. And they got off to such a slow start. So I think maybe mentally that'll get them to where I do think they can win the next 3. Right. But again, I mean, Thunder fans are like, look, we won. We were in this game. It's legit. It could be.
I actually think what you guys said is more likely to happen than what, because I was like an in 6 or 7 guy.
Right, right.
But really, it took like a disaster or miracle, depending on where you stand on it, for them to beat the Spurs,
I thought it's the best drama we've had all season.
But to me, there are 3 truly, truly sublime teams in this playoffs.
Right.
And it's Spurs, Warriors, Thunder. That Thunder team, I think if they had a coach, would be really something else. Because
Of course.
Yeah. Because they are poorly coached. Billy Donovan has not proved out.
I think the Cavs are significantly better than the Thunder.
Really?
I do. I have so much trust in LeBron that, like, they'd
LeBron
get it done.
LeBron looks terrifying. especially when he's like getting five steals a game.
Yeah,
playoff
playing
LeBron.
Serious yeah. defense.
This is what I kind of I hinted at a couple episodes ago, where it's his, you know, season. His season averages were awful and lower right. than they've been in some time. But I think he's just five finals.
I mean, Kevin,
he makes the yeah. finals every year.
You know, and that's a lot of, and then the Olympics and all that stuff. Like, I think he was just coasting.
Kevin Love had. I was surprised he didn't end up on the iShop.
Well, he was nominated.
Yeah.
He was a nominee last week, and yeah. he was an honorable mention this week. He's bricking some shots.
He's playing really poorly, and they're still comfortably beating him.
Offensively,
I know the Hawks got in close towards the end, but did you really ever doubt?
I didn't think they would have a chance. I mean, I hoped, but
it's just. LeBron's LeBron. I know that's a boring way to look at it, but he turns it on in the playoffs, and he's the type of player. To me, it's not he's getting to the hole at will,
right? Which gets his free throws up, which helps him.
His passing right now is so next level that it's just ripping teams.
Him just finding those 3-point shooters anytime he's surrounded by all those guys is great.
It's not just finding them; it's when the pass is on. It's literally in the sweet spot of the shooter.
It's gonna be.
It's like they're grabbing them off a rack. You know,
when he's doing it against the Monstars, it's really gonna illuminate, animate exactly what we're saying.
He's throwing a ball through Boban's stomach.
He's got Isaiah Thomas
catching Carmelo in stride.
That's perfect. All right. So, you guys, thanks for checking us out. Check out fanessentials.net. Go to rabble.tv. I've been looking for, again, been looking for rabbles to listen to during the playoffs. We're going to get back on it now that John's back in town. We're organizing our schedules. We'll do some playoff games.
Going to do that lottery.
Oh, we'll probably do the lottery. That'll be a lot of fun doing that on Rabble. You can download that app. They just have a new update there. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at FastBreakBreak. Write us a review on iTunes, really helps us out. So thanks for listening. You guys are the best. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.